This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me...
Anne Eggers.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now Anne, you grew up on a farm, I believe.
Yes, I grew up on a dairy farm in Taranaki, probably south of Opanaki.
Okay. And you're talking about the 1940s?
I was born in 1942.
Okay.
So, 42.
So sometime after the Second World War, you were going to school and so on.
Well, by the time I was, I suppose, 11, 12, we were milking, and we used to help our father milk cows. It was a dairy farm, and we had about 80 cows.
So when you say we, who's the we?
Well, my other older brothers as well. I had five brothers and two sisters.
Okay.
So, and the older ones, one of the older ones, so I would go to the cow shed at 5:30 in the morning. But that way we would go and get the cows and I'd call them to come into the shed, and we would start milking around about 5:30.
So how many cows did you have?
About on the 80 cows.
And when you say you start milk, how did you milk? You had was it a herring yard, bone?
No, it was a bale shed.
So what's a bale shed?
The cows walked into a bale, and you put the cups on. They were all individual bales.
Sort of like a separate booth, wooden sides or something.
Yes. There were two cows to each sort of section, and there were four sections, so that was 8 cows being milked in the shed, but only 4 cows at a time because you took the machines off one cow and put them on the other one.
Okay.
I mean, this was back, as I say.
Early days.
Early days.
So it was all electrical power and...
Well, now it would be on a rotary basis, so the cows would be on a movable fence, or they let out as they go round. Yes.
Yeah.
No, these we let them out. We used to leg rope them because stop them from lifting their foot up and putting it on the milking plant and dragging the cups off.
Okay.
So,
And it was all electrical power or...?
Yes, it was electric power. Turning the machines on. But that would take us about an hour and a half, I suppose, to milk the cows. And then we would come home and wash and change into our school clothes and get on our bike and bike 2.5 miles to catch the bus. And then we would catch the bus, which would then travel another 17 miles into the high school, the Opanaki High School. So, and we would repeat the journey on the way back.
Yeah.
So, it was late. I mean, by the time we had dinner at night, it would be 6 o'clock or later.
Yeah. And you'd have milked the cows again when you got back?
We milked the cows.
So you got back, you get changed, you milk the cows, you go, and then you have tea.
Yes. Then you
did
your homework.
Then
you did your homework.
So when was bedtime then?
Bedtime was about 9 o'clock. So we went to bed.
So you went to bed at 9, you were ready to milk the cows at 5:30, so you're up by 5 in the morning?
It wouldn't take long to get up once you just woke up and you put your clothes on and went.
So how long did you do that for? Several years?
Oh, heavens. I left home when I was 17 to come to teacher's college. So I would have done that for, 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 years it would have been, So...
Never did you any harm, eh?
No, it didn't do us any harm, but I did wonder when they would worry about who hadn't done their homework. Nobody asked you what you'd done beforehand. I mean, I look back now and wondered, they had no idea, the teachers, the sort of life we led at home. And that didn't
come
into
it. Were your friends in the same position? They grew up
not always. No, most of them were town children.
Okay.
Yeah, I've no idea. I don't know if the others those that come off farms, I don't think they did the milking, no.
So why were all of you doing that? It was just, so it wasn't normal for the children to be doing all that?
I don't know. I never really asked them. I suppose the girlfriends I had were came from the dairy factory. So their fathers worked in the dairy factory.
Oh, yeah.
They were managers of dairy factories. And otherwise they were town people. Different.
So did you grow up with aspirations to be a
dairy farmer?
Wife, a dairy
no,
farmer?
I didn't think I had that. No, I came to teacher's college. I was going to be a teacher. Well, I knew my mother had five brothers and three of them were school teachers. So teaching was certainly in the groove. And on my grandfather's side, they were school teachers too. They'd come from England. So they were teachers.
So was it something that you consciously decided, or it was just automatically you grew up thinking you'll become a teacher?
Opunaki had about the population of 1,700, 2,000 people. So it had a few shops, but there was no employment. I didn't want to work in a shop, that was for sure. No, so teaching, certainly I wanted to do something. So teaching, was the ideal opportunity. And it was to get away from home, I suppose, and from the small town.
And for the boys as well, I suppose they're growing up and thinking there aren't many opportunities.
All the four of them went farming. My brother that was a bit older than me, Doug, he had infantile paralysis, spinal meningitis, when he was 2.5. So he had no muscle down his right side. But Doug used to milk cows the same as we did. He was treated the same as us. He rode a bike the same as everybody else. But, it was just different. I just decided to come to teacher's college. It was easier to do that than...
Did you have an image then of, this is something that you will be doing... maybe on and off with breaks for family maybe, but for most of your life? Or did you think you work until you get married and have children and then you stop working?
I never thought about getting married and didn't come into it.
Yeah.
I came to teacher's college and I was just a single female here that was, it was just, we went to teacher's college and that was what was happening.
So what would the alternatives have been? I suppose nursing would you.
Well, it still meant going away from home and going nursing. No, I didn't want to go nursing.
No.
Okay. I suppose I knew schooling, school that was, 9 to 3 seemed a good sort of time of day to have, and you work around that. But
with a family of teachers, and you didn't think there'd be work to do outside school.
When you say a family of teachers, not in my family, my mother's family, but the brothers were teachers. Some of them, they were teaching when they were 16 because, they were student teachers because there wouldn't have been the teachers in the country schools. So they would, they would do their teaching from 16 before they went to teachers' college.
Oh, right. Is that when you've got several age groups within a class and the older ones guiding the younger ones? Is that what you mean?
Yes and no. The classes certainly were there were two or three age levels in a classroom. Yes, but in those days, you would have at least 40 children in your class. Probably the infant classes were more like 30, just low 30s. It was certainly different. Yeah.
Okay. So you went to teachers' college and then you started teaching.
Came to teachers' college in Palmerston North, which is virtually 3 hours' drive from Taranaki. So my girlfriend and I decided it wasn't much sense. By the time my father would drive us down, 3 hours down, 3 hours back, he'd left the shed at one stage and go back to the shed in the next stage to milk the cows. So we decided to hitchhike. That's how I did my hitchhiking. So while I was at teachers...
So was that quite common, people hitchhiking then? Did you feel it was safe or you go just on your own, there'd be two of you together?
Yes, I never hitchhiked on my own. Yeah. No, I went with a girlfriend. And we would just hike. We just walked along the road on the left-hand side of the road, and the cars would stop for us. If we didn't like them, we would say, no, thank you, we're just going down the road. We hiked really all of New Zealand in the 2 years we were at Teachers College. And then I did a year's teaching it in
so
the...
So that would have been in the late 60s?
Yes. I was at Teachers College 61, 62, I think it was. I had done my first year's teaching. Then I decided, well, it was time to go overseas. So my girlfriend, two girlfriends and I, we went across to Australia.
Oh, weren't you bonded?
No, I don't know. I don't...
Maybe it came in later. I thought the idea of, you go to teachers' college, you get paid, but that while you're studying, but then you have to, you're allocated maybe to a country school or something, but you have to go somewhere for a couple of years.
We only did the one teaching year. It would be my PA year. I would have done it at the country school.
PA.
Yeah.
What's PA?
Probationary assistant, is it?
PA. Yeah. Okay.
PA.
Just building up experience anyway.
So we went to Australia. And over there I worked in restaurants and as a waitress in Sydney for 3 or 4 months. Then my girlfriend that I had gone over with, it was a school teacher, she came home again, back to New Zealand. And I went on with Joan to Brisbane. And we got a job in a restaurant up there. It was...
So you didn't think of teaching, or they wouldn't employ you as a, they wouldn't recognise your qualification?
We never even tried teaching. We were moving on. We were
free and
easy. Didn't want to worry. Okay. Worked the day and that was it. So we worked at a temperance hotel in Brisbane.
A temperance hotel?
Yes, didn't have, no alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, now when you say hotel, that... There's the hotel, the place where you sleep, or a hotel where you go to drink. So was this a drinking place?
No, it was...
you go to drink orange juice?
No, it was more of a dining place.
Oh, okay.
Dining place, yeah.
A bit like Cobb and Co. here.
I suppose this would be like Cobb and Co.
Yeah.
So we were there for 3 months, and then she decided she was going home, or she had got a boyfriend there. That was in Brisbane. Yeah, she got a boyfriend in Brisbane. So she stayed in Brisbane and I went on to Hayman Island. And I was as a waitress on Hayman Island.
And Hayman Island is where?
Up on the Barrier Reef.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Caught the train up. I think it took about a day and a half to get there on the train. And then when I got to Proserpine, we had to catch a boat across to Hayman Island. Mm. So I caught the boat over to Hayman Island. Yeah.
What made you do that? Was it...
Oh, it was a nice place.
You'd heard about it? People would say, it's a good place to go?
No. Just, I suppose we heard about it as we were there. I suppose you look at pictures on the wall.
Yeah. And if you're in the circuit where there's young people moving around, you hear what there is. I don't really know.
We just went from one to another, and it was on the route up there, and I knew that I'd be looked after. And it was a live-in place, so... accommodation was there. People came in stayed for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They would be staying in cabins on the island, and they would be in for breakfast, lunch and dinner. But it was divided into, weekly sections.
So it's sort of like a holiday resort holiday camp type of thing?
Yes, it's a very well-known holiday resort, Hayman Island. Okay. I think they... After we left, they were flying them in, the people in, by helicopter. They were coming from Sydney and flying up from Sydney. But they would stay the 2 weeks, and you would have different... there would be a Paris night where we wore black slit skirts and net stockings and tied-up tops.
Mm.
And there'd be a Hawaiian night where we were in a different dress. The food went along with its orbit. As I said, they come for lunch, breakfast, lunch and dinner. So in between we could go swimming on the beach or go walking. And I think that's where I got a love for shellfish. And I used to collect, go down to the beach and pick up shellfish. I remember sending a new Eddie. I knew that's where I met Eddie, actually, and on the, before I came over to Australia. And I was sending him, he liked shellfish, so I remember collecting.
So you got to know Eddie when you were at Teachers College?
No.
Is that before you went to Australia, though?
Yes, he was up coaching a softball team in Hamilton. They had come up, or he'd coached them in Invercargill, and he'd come up to Hamilton because they had a softball
tournament
there. It was either Hamilton or Rotorua, and he ended up at Hamilton at the dance, so I met him at a dance, and then he wrote to me all the time I was in Australia. In between serving meals, I collected shells and buried them in the sand, or tried to get them to dig up their bits and pieces. But I remember sending them back to New Zealand, and he was saying, well, some of them arrived with had been fly blown and they'd had to clean them out. But he had quite a lovely collection of shells. And from Hayman Island, I met a girl on Hayman Island. What's her name now? I've forgotten.
Well, now that you're describing, well, partly being a student, but also travelling, hitchhiking, working in a restaurant, someone now in the 2023, would their image of working in a restaurant reflect what it was like for you? Or
Now, at the same time, it's not really much different as it is now.
And the people coming in are all same sort of thing? Would they dress up to go to meals?
Yes, they
then,
would. Or? Yes, they did. Yeah. Well, they were on holiday for 2 weeks. You had the same people for 2 weeks. Yeah. So you really got to know them. But no, they all dressed up for different nights, a Hawaiian night, Paris night. I can't
think of them. It wasn't just the staff who dressed up. The people dressed
Yes, they dressed up too. Now it was good fun.
So how did that now? For we've got things like you go on a cruise and there's some of those sorts of things. Yeah. Was it like that? You go for a holiday then, and it's a set package with a group of people, or was it more independent?
They could catch boats that went round the islands up there, around the what do you call them?
Around the reef.
Reef islands, yes.
To go there for a holiday, were they going independently, or would it be sort of
They went independently, but it would be a fortnight's package. It would have included going out on the motorboat, I suppose, in some respects, like a cabin cruiser. Not too big, as I say, I suppose there was something like probably 40 or 50 cabins on the island. So it was quite large. It was really nice. And there was a Hernando's Hideaway was more of a bar, and that was set along the beach further along, which was sort of like, it was just nice. I don't know, a lot of the waiters and waitresses, you went there as well. It was more of a place for the workers to go. Very nice. So I was there for, I suppose, 3 or 4 months. Then I'd had enough, so I went with Colleen. She'd been working on the island too, and she was a New Zealander from Nelson. So we hitchhiked from Hayman Island, caught the boat to Proserpine, and then hiked down to, we went up to Cairns to have a look at Cairns. And we just hiked up there, and I don't know where we slept at that stage. Can't remember.
Well, there'd be youth hostels, wouldn't there?
Some of them had youth hostels. I don't know if youth hostels existed very greatly.
In Australia, maybe not. Or would you sleep on the beach? Just take a sleep?
No, I hadn't got that stage. Too dash cold out at night. We did try once with my girlfriend in New Zealand, but it's very cold at night, especially in the early mornings. Yeah. Too cold to sleep out. Without any cover, that's for sure. But no, we went up to Cairns, enjoyed that. Went round the or saw the different fish up there in the sea, and it was quite, Cairns wasn't as busy as it is now, of course. Mm. Then we went back down to Rockhampton, I think it is, and then we went from Rockhampton inland to Mount Isa. Stayed with a friend in Mount Isa, who I'd met at in Brisbane. So we stayed there for a while, and then we hiked off. So just went down from Mount Isa to heading down towards Alice Springs. I'd have to have a look on the map to think of it.
Oh, I suppose you were working your way. I'm thinking
No, we didn't work.
Well, you earned some money in the waitressing.
We earned money at waitressing, yes.
Yeah.
But when we hitchhike, you don't pay for anything.
No, you can't. Yeah. Oh, well, you need accommodation and food.
Well,
and stuff.
It just depends. I can't remember. We must have. I can't remember. Mm. We're from Cairns. We must have had. We must have stayed at youth hostels. Yes, it would have been youth hostels. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm thinking like these days, students might come out of their training with a big student debt or something.
We didn't have any debt. No,
that was all.
They actually paid us. It wasn't a much. It covered our board. That was about it. It would have covered our board. But and then I'd worked for a year, so I'd always saved my money, so I had money.
So was it now? In those days, was there the idea of the big OE? Or did that come later?
I think it was. I don't think it was quite on the cards as that. No.
Yeah. Would most of the people you studied with have gone into a teaching job and stayed there? Or
yes, they would have gone into teaching jobs. A lot of them would have got married pretty quick, smart, either from teachers' college or early in their teaching career.
Okay.
No,
and they'd have carried on teaching then, or
I have no idea. No. Some of them, yes, they did.
Yeah.
But you know, you spread far and wide. I mean, we came down from Taranaki. There's no teacher training in Taranaki.
Hmm.
So the closest one, some of them went to Auckland at Ardmore. Hmm. Others came down to Palmerston North.
So what was your impression of Palmerston North coming here to start?
Oh, well, that's when the train came through the town.
Oh, through the square, yes.
So we used to make excuses. We were late coming to Teachers College because the train was going through and we couldn't get past the train. And then you had to wait for the lights because, you know, they would flash red all the time. But no.
Was it lively? Was it quiet? Were there many places to go in the evening?
We boarded at the hostel, the YWCA hostel. It's used to be opposite the railway station.
It's on Church Street. Okay.
So there was a railway bridge which went right over the railway lines onto Church Street, so we could get there. So we boarded at the hostel. And of course they provided all our meals, and we did that for a year. Then we went flatting.
Now, in the hostel, were boys sneaked in at night, or they weren't allowed in, or the doors were all locked?
Doors were all locked. They locked the doors at 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh. Yes, if you went to see a film, it'd have to finish before 10.
Well, perhaps they knew we might be a bit late, but most films finish just sort of on 10. So if you hurried, you could get back in without any problem.
That would have been one of the big things for entertainment, because you wouldn't have had television at that stage.
No, there wasn't any television. No TV.
So films were quite big at that.
Well, we would go at least probably once a week to films. Mm. I don't know. We had homework to do from teachers' college. Mm. I don't know. I suppose we entertained ourselves. And
did students have cars?
At the hostel.
Well, student generally to get around, would you have cars so that you could just go wherever?
We all had bikes. Our bikes down with us. No, we used to babysit. I used to babysit Friday or Saturday, and girlfriend and I we would work for what were they called we worked for a catering firm in the weekends. So we would go out, do the race course, or we'd do weddings and things like that. We'd work as waitresses, caterers, yes.
So that was partly to fund your way through the teachers' college? You
know? Well, it gave us extra money and we do what we wanted. I mean, we didn't get certainly a very big allowance. No, it hardly covered your books.
Yeah.
No, you could manage, that was about all. But it certainly gave you a bit of money to.
So you got
spend
support from family?
I didn't ask for the support.
Yeah. You'd left home, you were being independent of that, is it?
I knew I could manage. Well, we did get over must have got $24, $30 a fortnight, I suppose. Mm. But accommodation wasn't, you know, it would have been covered.
Yeah.
No, you just managed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was. That was life.
Yeah, if everyone's in the same situation. Yes, there wasn't much of a pub culture then for the...
No. Coffee was only just coming into being, so the coffee bars were just coming up. I remember the Cherry. It was the Cherry. It was down one of the arcades in town, when that goes from... Broadway into King Street.
Yeah.
There was one chip called the Cherry in there, but that was just new stuff then. Just coming.
And no drugs at that time.
No drugs at all.
Smoking? Did many people smoke?
Yes, people smoked. It wasn't something I enjoyed at all or liked. No, I didn't smoke.
Yeah.
My father, I think, used to smoke caps, and I think he used to get 6 packets of Capsin, which only had to have 10 cigarettes in the packet, and that's all he smoked in a week. So it was no big deal, you know. Smoking wasn't something that, wasn't important.
This is part 1 of 2. Listen next week for part 2.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website. And a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.